Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
Oh, hey. How's it going?
You know, not bad.
That's good.
It's snowing here.
Oh, gosh. Which 13 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, like it should be minus 20 with 3 feet of snow.
That we've had for the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, but instead it's the first week of December and we got a skiff and now we're like put out by it.
I know. I shoveled the driveway and then we walked the dogs and came back and it hadn't even looked like I shoveled the driveway. But
yeah.
Anyways, also PSA people, shovel your sidewalks. It's annoying.
Yeah.
When you don't.
Especially because we have a dog who uses a mobility device.
Yeah.
We have a dog who's a wheelchair user.
Funny way to walk a dog.
Oh my God. The things people tell us. Anyway, it makes it really hard. So if you're just like, ugh, do I have to shovel? Like, just think about John.
Yeah.
And me pushing his wagon stroller.
Through the snow.
Anywho.
It's not snowing in California.
That's true. We need to move to Glen Oak.
We do.
And join the Glen Oak Community Church.
I always remember, this is totally kind of off topic, but the Ernest movie, Ernest Saves Christmas, It snows at the end.
Yeah.
And that's like what the bad girl was like asking for Christmas. She was like supposed to be the bad.
I'm not familiar with that.
Anyways.
I do want to say, I always forget and then say it at the end, but we have a Patreon and a Supercast, And it's a subscription service where for a small contribution every month, you get access to bonus content that will never be on the main feed.
Yep. What?
Yep. Yeah, we do. So we're doing a deep dive right now on the main characters.
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny. I think so.
I think it's funny.
One of the people we did a deep dive on was a pyromaniac as a kid.
Yeah.
One has an atrocious prenup agreement.
I mean,
just like one.
Is it though? Like it's atrocious, but like, is it needed?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. And yeah, we're just kind of like learning some really fun things. Yeah. So if you like us, if you want to support the work that we do, or if we're mediocre, but you're really digging this deep dive, join it. You just have to look up a lesbian recap on either Patreon or Supercast.
Yes. Don't use the word mediocre. You won't find us.
All right. Okay. Let's cover Mom's Muffins.
Season 2, Episode 8. It's called Do Something.
Isn't it called Mom's Muffins?
No, it's called Do Something.
Oh.
Did you?
I literally wrote Mom's Muffins.
Okay. It came out November 10th, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, Mom's muffins are so delicious, she decides to go into business and quickly burns out. Like,
I don't think that that's accurate, but I think we're learning that about,
yeah,
all of this.
Synopses.
Like, this episode is really about work ethic and business.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. People, you just got to do something.
You just got to do something.
Do we want to talk about Simon and Ruthie first? Or Annie, yeah, or Matt?
Yeah. The first note I just want to make, which doesn't fit anywhere, but in the very opening scene, Church lets out and Eric is standing in the doorway. Uh-huh. And I just wrote rude because all these the kids and people who don't want to stop and have a conversation are trying to push past.
Yeah.
And then the people who are trying to have a conversation are like, oh, whoa, 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 like trying, yeah, to get out of the way.
It's like, yeah, like get out of the doorway.
Yeah. Like
get your receiving line out on the lawn.
This is what I think.
Or stay up at the pew or something.
Something. But the way they're doing it isn't working.
No.
Anywho, yeah, so let's talk about Simon and Ruthie.
Do you remember when they would like sell things? Like you'd have to like collect something to like, and then send away for a prize on a cereal box, yeah, or that's what Simon's up to.
Yeah, so I guess it does kind of tie into that opening scene because he's trying to talk to people at church, mm-hmm, and Eric's like, stop soliciting. Yeah. On the church, and it comes out that he's trying to win this prize. And if he sells,
he's got to sell 10 boxes of
greeting cards
for $4 a box. And once they're sold, he sends away and he's going to get an action figure of the Tick. Which
is that a real?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. I was like, that's like an odd choice, but I thought it was just a made up.
No, it wasn't. And I think maybe it must have like come out in 1997 or it was, mm-hmm, like big in 1997.
Yeah. But I wanted to know more about the greeting cards and specifically, like, was it for all occasions? Was it just birthday cards, sympathy cards, a variety?
One of my kids, I think it was Olivia, one of the fundraisers at school one year was to sell boxes of greeting cards.
And so what were they greeting?
All different things. There was like, it was like, let's say if it was like 10 cards, there was like 2 Mother's Day cards,
right,
2 Father's Day cards for your 2 moms and your 2 dads.
No. Yeah.
And then like just a handful of generic ones, maybe 1 Christmas card, 2 birthday cards.
Right.
But I didn't get through them all because they weren't generic enough.
Mm.
So
I remember, this is a throwback to probably 1997, going on the computer and using that, putting in the floppy disk, mm-hmm, of that card creator, mm-hmm, and looking through the pixely designs, mm-hmm, and then typing what you wanted it to say.
Yeah.
And then it printed out and you had to fold it,
yeah,
on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper.
You fold it twice. Yeah.
Yeah. But not before ripping off.
Oh, yeah. That's so satisfying.
Perforated edges of the paper.
Corrugated thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's what that reminded me of. I used to get so jazzed about printing a card.
Okay, so Simon wants to sell these cards and then he's going to win the prize. And that's like literally what he's wrapped up in the entire episode.
Yeah.
Ruthie, I can't remember why or how it turns into, like, why Ruthie even asks.
So Ruthie's asking Annie about Mom's muffins.
Yeah,
asking about her mom's muffins, mm-hmm, and her mom said, and Annie says, well, it's business. And she's like, well, why don't you just sell the muffins?
Right.
And she's like, well, I have nowhere to sell them. And
so she's talking about the, right, I remember this, she's talking about like a middleman.
Yeah, middleman, business, yeah, profits.
So then Ruthie's like, well, I could be the middleman.
Yeah.
So she says, I could buy all of Simon's cards for $40.
I think Annie says it. She's 6.
Yeah. And then she's going to sell them for $5 and make 10 bucks.
Yeah.
And she asks for a loan.
And her mom says, I would love to give you a loan.
Yeah. Go into business with you.
So then Ruthie goes to Simon and says, who's on the phone trying to sell his cards. No one's buying. And so she says, well, I've got a deal for you. Like, I'll buy all 10 boxes for $4. And he's like, how, like, why? Why would you do that? And then I thought she was going to be sneaky about it, but she's like, well, because then I'm going to sell them for $5.
I'm going to make $10.
Yeah. And he's like, that's not how it works. And she very cleverly says, you're the loaner and the saver. I'm the seller.
Yeah. And like, and she describes how, like, before she was born, Simon was the cute one and he was the seller, but now tables have turned.
And now he's the loaner and the saver, and she's the seller.
Yeah.
So right away, like, basically she sells all 5 boxes.
And makes $60. And she's like, I'll sell 1 for $5 or 3 for $20.
Yeah.
And, like, the grandparents and stuff are falling for it, and they're trying to be supportive. So, yeah, she makes $60.
Okay, the type of fundraisers I like to see are those bacon ones, mm-hmm. because the bacon is so cheap and so good. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen one come across in a while.
I know. I see them every now and then on, like, at the beginning of seasons, but I'll keep my eye open for a bacon one.
Yeah.
My kids have never sold bacon, which is unfortunate because we would buy it.
Yeah, like, they've sold sausages.
Yeah.
Your nephew sells popcorn. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. They sell, like, Olivia's skating was selling, like, wreaths and these, like, holiday signs. But, like,
yeah.
And I ordered the wreaths once and I got my wreath. And it was, like, they hyped it all up. It was going to fly in from Nova Scotia. It was, like, made of, like, I don't know, Nova Scotian pine. That's not a real thing. The trees of Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be, like, this big thing. And it showed up and it was all dried out. And, like, the distance between Calgary and Nova Scotia is, like, the distance between California and New York. So, like, it was shipped across the country on, I don't know, plane, train, automobile.
From a very humid Atlantic province to, like,
the driest one.
The driest one.
Yeah.
With the highest altitude.
So, like, I hung it up on the door and I closed the door once and it just went. And I was like, okay. Anyways,
you know what they say. Like, I hate a dry wreath almost more than I hate mom's dry muffins.
No, her muffins are supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
So she sells enough to make $60, turns around, and because they are the Camdens, she buys Simon the Tick doll, a bigger one than he would have even got from the magazine.
Because the other one said 6 inches.
Yeah.
That's very little.
Like, as tall as this beer can I'm drinking.
No, I bet you.
Oh my God. There's a tape measure right here.
Okay, you got to flip it around. Love that ASMR. Okay. Okay. I was going to say 7. It's literally like 6.5 inches.
It's 6.25.
Isn't the average penis size 6 inches?
I think so, yeah. Like, as big as this beer can. Not this effect.
No, though. But that's
gross.
That's much longer than I remember seeing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Write in and let us know.
Please don't. So she buys Simon the Tick doll and then still has her $10. She was just in it for the $10.
Yeah.
She can keep it in her tank top.
Boy.
I know my mom wrote in
yeah
to the show and said that some kids wore like an undershirt to keep their money in. Like, why not just wear a pocket, have a pocket in your pants,
a fanny pack, a purse.
It was the 90s.
A money belt.
Keep it in your shoe. My grandma
used to. A penny loafer.
Yeah. My grandma used to make me put a quarter in my shoe and then her address wrapped in saran wrap. And
right.
Then in case I got lost, I could call.
And sweaty.
Yeah.
I just went to Winnipeg and visited my 92-year-old grandma. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me that, I don't know why we were talking about shoes, but she has really narrow feet and she could never find a pair of penny loafers that would fit her feet. And she was always so jealous because everybody got to walk around with a penny in their loafers.
I don't get it. What's a penny loafer?
Like a penny loafer. It's like a flat shoe. And on the, where the toe part is like a little slit for your penny.
For what?
A penny for your thoughts. I don't know. Is that how much a payphone was?
I think they had phones.
In 1942?
I'm going to look up what the meaning of penny loafer.
Yeah. But anyway, my grandma didn't get any, so.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah.
I didn't get Doc Martens.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, so. So then, do we want to talk about Matt?
Yeah.
So at church, basically everything does start at church in that opening scene. Mm-hmm. So Eric talks to, what's his name?
Emery.
Emery, which is E-M-O-R-Y, for yep. those that need to know. And he says, how are you and Nell doing? And how is Steve?
They've only given Steve 6 months.
They've only given him 6 months. They thought about bringing him home, but they, you know, he's better off at the hospital where he's got around the clock care.
Yeah.
And they're doing their best to, you know, see him every morning, every lunch, every dinner. But they're still both working full time. And then he says, do you know anybody who would be looking for a part-time job who could go in the evenings and hang out with Steve?
Yeah. Just sit with him.
Just sit with him, read to him. And Matt overhears this and says, I would like this job.
Yeah.
And Eric says, no, I don't want, no way. I don't want you doing this, and shoos him away. And then we find out in the next scene, basically, that he went, what's his name? Matt went behind, Matt went behind Eric's back and got the job
anyways.
And Eric is like, you don't understand. Like, you know, somebody who's sick and dying is angry and he's like a tough kid.
And, like, he's got a point. Like, yes. He's a dying kid.
Yeah. Like that's got to be tough.
Yeah. To, like, sit in a hospital and watch a kid. They never actually say what he has. I can only assume cancer.
But, yeah. Who knows?
But it's going to be $20 a night.
Yeah. I am curious about, is it $20 a night and you're there for 3 hours? Are you there overnight?
Or yeah. I don't know.
When are you there? Is it 7 nights a week? 5 nights a week?
Like, he seems, Matt goes a lot, so.
Yeah.
Is he getting paid overtime?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Also, I just wanted to mention that the mom, Nell,
mm-hmm.
is played by an actress named Anne Gillespie, and it's Kelly Taylor's mom from 90210.
Yeah, she looked so familiar. I'm so glad you looked that out.
And the guy that plays Emery, the dad, is in a whole bunch of stuff, but like nothing. He's in a lot of like one episodes of this and one episodes of that. But I just thought like it's another crossover with like 90210, and because Aaron Spelling is a producer.
Yeah. I know.
I just like didn't realize how much these shows crossed over back then. There was no IMDb to like look this stuff up on a whim.
Yeah.
You'd have to like know or ask.
Wait for that encyclopedia version to come out.
Yeah. Maybe the TV magazine would come out with an article.
Yeah. So Matt meets this kid. They hit it off right away. They're reading comics. They're talking. And then Steve... I forgot his name, so I just wrote kid. He was like, Matt, what do you think dying's like?
Yeah.
And like, Matt is only 17, but I guess he's like religious, so maybe he can talk about it. But I thought he did have a really good answer.
He did.
He said, you know, when you're sick and your parents put you in their bed and you fall asleep, and when you wake up, you know you're not in your bed, but that's okay because you feel so safe and comfortable. Mm-hmm. And he said that's what he thinks dying is like.
Yeah, like it was, I liked that.
Yeah. I have a dog scratching very loudly beside me. So then, go ahead.
I was going to say, so then Steve asks Matt to take him outside.
He says, yeah, I'm so depressed and I'm, how old is Steve, do you think? Like 12?
12, yeah.
And he says, you know, I just want to go outside and...
But my parents won't let me. They're afraid.
Yeah, they say, you know, they think that if they take me out and something happens, like something bad will happen.
Give themselves or whatever.
Yeah, but like I'm dying anyway.
Yeah.
So what's the harm in letting me live? Like, yeah. And so Matt talks to a doctor who seems very pleased about his stethoscope. Did you see how he was like handling
holding onto it around his neck?
Yeah, it was like this is the job that he's been studying for in all of his acting classes. Mm-hmm. He always plays doctor.
Yeah.
And so he's like, don't worry, I know what to do.
I'm going
to
nail this.
I'm going to hold this stethoscope around my neck like.
And he's very like, he's kind of like telling Matt that like, it'd be totally fine if you took him outside. Nothing's going to happen. But also Steve asks everyone to take him outside. And that's how these other people that have sat with him get fired. And he kind of says like, he kind of tells him to take him outside.
Yeah. He says, you know, you can't take him out without his parents' permission. And Matt's like, okay, but like, he'd be fine. And the doctor's like, wink, wink. Yeah, he'd be fine.
Yeah.
So he gets Steve to phone his parents one morning. He goes early, early. And he says, like, call your parents. Tell them not to come because Matt's here. And then out they go.
Yeah, they go to the Ball Diamond. So it just cuts to a scene where Matt and Eric are like, well, I just talked to Nell and Emery, and they say they're still not back yet, and nobody can find
Matt
them.
Matt and Eric?
Sorry. It cuts to a scene between Annie and Eric.
Yes.
And Annie's saying that they still can't find Steve and Matt, and because she talked to Nell and Emery, and nobody knows where they are. It could have been solved with a cell phone. But anyways.
Yeah, find my phone. You'd be there in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Let's put an AirTag on that kid.
Yeah. And the doctor goes to Nell and Emery and says, like, no word yet. We still have people out looking. So where was Sergeant Michael?
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Was he dealing with more gang activity? Making sure Taryn Noah Smith doesn't jump off the roof? Like, what was he doing?
Like, I don't know, but essentially Matt abducted a child from a hospital. So this seems important.
Yeah.
And so they're looking at places, like... They're so dumb. They're looking at places that Matt would go. They're like, I checked the Varsity. I checked the whatever. And they're like, wait.
Billiards.
Oh, yeah, the billiards. They're like, wait, we got to think about where would Steven want to go? The baseball diamond.
Yeah.
So sure enough.
There's only one baseball diamond.
Yeah.
In Glen Oak. And that's where they end up. And they end up just as Matt. So Steve like hits a ball with a bat. And then goes back into his wheelchair and Matt is like running the bases with him.
Yeah.
And the wind's blowing in his hair and he's all happy.
And then the minivan rolls up and out pile all the adults.
Yeah. Mad, scared.
Yeah. And then the parents decide, okay, we will bring him home. What's the harm?
Yeah. And he's like, this was the best day of my life. You know, I feel for once I've lived. Ooh. Yeah. So, but then, so... Hang on, I have to mute it because I'm going to cough.
That's the wrong button.
Is this the right button?
Yeah.
We're back. Just a quick cough. So, you know, Steve is like, oh, you're going to get fired for this. And Matt's like, I've been fired from every job. But, like, I thought the outcome was such that they realized that Matt didn't really do the wrong thing. And,
like, he did do the wrong thing, though.
But they were never going to say yes.
So Matt had to be the, what's the word? I don't know.
Con artist?
He had to like take the fall for it.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah. So he got fired.
Yeah.
Lost his job. Anyway.
Also, it's too sad to like have to like follow Matt along in this show and then until the kid dies.
Yeah. First Heather leaves him. Now Steve dies.
Yeah. Like poor Matt.
I mean, poor Steve, but yeah, poor Matt too.
Yeah, fair.
Okay, so Lucy and Mary don't really have a storyline.
Except to put down Annie.
Yeah. Like, I kept waiting for there to be an ulterior motive. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, they're up to something. So, again, first scene, everybody's in church. Annie is dishing out lemonade and giving away muffins. And this man, did you write his name down?
Mr. Friel, Dave Friel.
Okay, I didn't write his down. I just wrote, he seems skeezy.
David Friel.
Okay, David Friel is like, Annie, these muffins are out of this world. They are the best muffins I've ever tasted. Would you consider selling them in my bakery?
He has a cookie store.
A cookie store. And she was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. So she gets his business card. And
Simon says, great, mom needs a job.
Yeah.
Like, and Simon, shut up.
I think we've established you're not so good at making money, Simon. And then Lucy and Mary are like, why would you need a job? Or no, oh, that sounds like a great job. And Annie's like, oh, I'm just worried I'd be too busy. And they're like, busy doing what? Like, they're just like cutting her down. And
cutting
she's
her down
like,
for being a stay-at-home mom over and over and over again.
Yeah. And so...
So then they, Lucy and Mary start to, I don't know if they felt guilty or what their kind of motive was, but then they tell Eric to encourage Annie to take the job.
Yeah.
Because she's just a stay-at-home mom. And like, she's got so much time on her hands. And they say that Annie is a stay-at-home wife because their dad, Eric, doesn't help enough. So she has to be a stay-at-home mom because he doesn't pitch in. Which
he doesn't do his share.
I agree. But also, like, that's not why stay-at-home moms are stay-at-home moms. Like,
yeah. Yes. His weaponized incompetence through this episode is baffling to me. And they're like, you know, like, mom just needs a purpose. And Eric's like, what do you mean? She went to college. She's got a degree. She studied business and home ec, which I thought was an odd choice. I didn't know you could get like a degree, where you could major in home economics.
Like, maybe if you want to go and like work at a school where they teach, what's that called?
Like a butler school?
Yeah, but like for where they teach kids to be proper.
Like Downton Abbey?
Yeah. What's that called? It's a school. Called
prep
something.
School?
Prep school.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So she did all this stuff and he's like, okay.
I just picture all the Marthas from... Handmaid's Tale.
So, yeah, then Eric goes to Annie and is like, you know, you should do this. Like, it'd be so great. And Annie doesn't take it the right way.
Yeah, she gets mad at him and she basically says, like, fine, I'll do it, but I don't need your help. And she's perfectly capable of running the household and making a few muffins.
Yeah. So then
she has a meeting with David Free.
Friedman?
Friel? Friel.
Friel. So they're sitting beside each other at the kitchen table and he's like going on and he's writing on this little piece of paper and he said, you know, our lawyers will have to work it out, but I give you $1,000 for your recipe and then I'll buy all the supplies.
And she gets 30% of the profits.
30% of the profits. And she's just like dumbfounded. Like she's got this dumb look on her face because it's seemingly more money than she's ever seen.
Yeah, but like, didn't she like run the books for the church and she was good at it? Like,
yeah.
And so it's a 30-day test run.
30-day test run. And she thinks she's going to his bakery.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no, we're only set up for cookies.
Like, which,
like, granted, I don't own a cookie shop or Mom's Muffins.
No, but like I work in a kitchen and we make muffins and cookies. And like you just it's one setup. It's an oven and a mixer.
Mm hmm.
You just, instead of having flat trays, you just buy the muffin trays, which I'm assuming he already bought for her as the supplies.
Yeah.
But anyways.
So then she's like, oh, shoot. Okay. So now she's realizing she's going to be, it goes into the dumbest montage I have ever seen. It's that music that's like, like.
Yeah. It's like, it's a classical. They use it in like Bugs Bunny and.
Yeah. It's not the Flight of the Bumblebee.
No.
But it's kind of like that. Incessant.
So he says that there's going to be an order. Your supplies are going to show up and you've got to make 30 dozen muffins. And that's when she's like, whoa. And so she goes into fast forward with this like music and she's doing laundry and cleaning the bathroom and fixing a bench and like, I don't know.
But like also, didn't we just watch Simon use your bra cup to do his own laundry?
Yeah. The kids could just do your own laundry, kids. Also, Mary and Lucy give Eric trouble because while they're like signing this piece of paper, like loose leaf, it was not really a formal document. He like comes in and interrupts and says, oh, I'm leaving for the day or whatever. And then they say to their dad, like, you shouldn't have interrupted mom in her business meeting. Like, now she's going to be even more mad at you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what their whole
deal was. Yeah. They're like driving a wedge between Eric and Annie.
Yeah.
And
so, okay. So this delivery driver shows up to pick up, to drop off the supplies. And then he shows up the next morning
at like 5 a.m.
Yeah. 5:30 to pick up the muffins, and he rings the doorbell and wakes up the household. It's like a whole thing.
And Annie seemingly has been up all night,
I guess. Like, she didn't just get up at 5 and start making muffins.
No.
I don't know.
Lizzie and Mary at one point, I didn't write down when they said it, but they said, just because you did the mom thing first doesn't mean you can't have a career. Like, careful.
I know. Like, who was giving them these lines? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's when she lays into them about how fulfilling being a stay-at-home mom is for her.
Yes.
I
did. So we did screen grab that, and I'm going to post it on TikTok and
Instagram. It's a pretty good monologue.
Yeah.
She's actually a pretty good actress.
Oh, yeah. Catherine Hicks is amazing.
Yeah.
She's been in so much.
So she does the muffin thing twice, I think, like two mornings. And then she's like, no, this is too much for me. But then she's pissed at Mary and Lucy. She's like, she let them talk her into baking a bazillion muffins a day. And so she makes them help her. And then she also says, and now you still have to plan dinner and do the laundry. And as she tasks them with her whole laundry list of things to do that day, of stay-at-home mom duties.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And then it turns out they have hot dogs, which I thought was funny.
Yeah. She was like, me and
the best.
What a great dinner.
Yeah.
Reminds me of the lake.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's like, yeah, me and Ruthie have to run an errand. So you finish up these muffins and think about what's for dinner and flip the laundry and I'll see you later.
Yeah. They got to go buy the tick.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just like. This episode went by really fast, maybe because of that fast forward montage.
Yeah, cut it a whole bunch.
It was like there was so many things happening, but it all kind of tied in. I mean, I guess they're getting better at
looping their episodes
and the storylines weaving together. But it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. I hope that.
I think Annie should have stuck out that 30 days. Because she, like, agreed to do a 30-day test run.
Yeah, and she kind of just, like, blew him off and was like, nope. Thanks, though.
And he's like, oh, okay, well, okay.
Like, good thing he only wrote it on loose leaf and not an actual contract.
Yeah. So, I don't know, mediocre episode, I'd say.
Mediocre, yeah. Kind of a filler episode. Nothing crazy happened.
Yeah.
Next episode's called I Hate You.
Ooh.
The girls learn that words can really hurt people, and Simon befriends a Holocaust survivor.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh.
It's not going to be great. So we're halfway through season 2, pretty much.
That's wild.
I know. How many? Yeah, 22. Season 9 is almost halfway.
Yeah. Almost like, so these episodes that are kind of mediocre, like it's only been a 30-minute recording, we should cover 2 in 1.
Yeah.
Because
I know, I think I wonder, like, because we don't know that it's only going to be 30 minutes until we're done recording.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it would make sense to like watch 2, start recording, and then we're like, ooh, we're 50 minutes in, we're not even done episode.
Let's cover the next.
Like, we can either cover the next one immediately, or we know we can put it off.
Or should we talk more about our personal lives?
Jess would like it.
Sorry, Jess. I bet you're really great and we're taking your feedback into consideration. But also, everybody, follow us on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Instagram.
Also, if you do want to learn way more about our personal lives, we have another podcast where all we do is talk about our personal lives.
Yeah. So I have another, I started another podcast almost 4 years ago, and it's called I Did Not Sign Up For This. And I'm rebranding, shifting the focus, and I have been fortunate enough to have you, Lindsay, and then our good friends Sam and Amy. And so we're just like four lesbians in Alberta
talking. We're going to talk about, our first episode, we like introduced ourselves a bit.
Yeah, we did a pilot episode. And the kicker is that we're releasing it as like a limited edition on Patreon. Mm-hmm. And so you'd also have to join that Patreon to listen. Mm-hmm. But we are going to launch it on the main feed. It just won't be all of those episodes. It'll just be some of them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Go and join
that
too. Check
that out.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
All right.
It's only 8:30 now. I feel like the whole night is ahead of us.
Like, I'm very tired.
I know. Maybe we'll watch a bit of a show and then go to bed.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Ah, I love you.
Ah, I love you too.
All right. Okay. Have a great day and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
So find us anywhere you get your podcasts at Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.